Hey, y'all.
This is Talkin' Trash with Liv
and Lizzie,
the podcast where two friends show each other our silliest and most treasured movies.
Each week, we'll watch a beloved movie,
no matter how corny, childish, or contrived.
Sometimes a masterpiece with minor flaws.
Other times, a magnificent mess.
Because one man's trash
is Liv and Lizzie's treasure. Alright, what is up, everyone? Welcome to week two of Talkin' Trash.
What up?
Alright, so, just checking in. Lizzie, how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been good. It was... Oh, hello, Zoe. That is our friend Zoe.
She's a little pupper.
She is sweet. She is my new best friend.
She talks a lot.
Yeah, especially because I've seen her around other people, and I don't know what I've done to be brought into her good graces, but Zoe has embraced me, and I am okay with
it. I don't know. You are the chosen one, though. She's decided that she likes you, so.
I sat down, and she hopped up on my lap earlier, and I was like, what's happening? So.
You want to come say hi, Zoe? Can you say hello? She's just staring at us very intently.
Love you. But yeah, no, it's been good. Rather uneventful, but honestly, at this time, that's kind of nice. Yeah.
Yep. That's about the same. Just kind of, you know, cruising through and trying to survive 2020. Hoping that 2021 is a little gentler with all of us.
Yeah.
But,
how about you?
Not much. Just, hanging in there. Recovering a little bit from my...
I was about to ask, how's the foot?
The foot is a lot better. It's still a little bruised. It's, you know, it's a little achy. But, because I injured it falling down some stairs. So, you know, my whole body's a little achy. But, the foot's a lot better. And I am on the mend, so, you know, life is good.
You know what heals feet tremendously? I was about to say foot. You know what heals foot tremendously?
Proud feet. what heals foot tremendously?
Watching movies!
Woo!
Because you can sit down and not do anything.
That is true. Just kick back, relax, prop the foot up, put on the ice, and, start the show.
Woo.
So, before we do get started, though, Lizzie, what's the vibe check this week?
The vibe right now is burgers. I am greatly enjoying this wonderful burger made by your fantastic husband.
He's a catch. Definitely.
It is very good. And I feel like it fits action movie vibe.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have baked brie, so there's a little bit of...
The vibe is confused tonight. Are we high class? Are we, like, you know, ready for, you know, some rough and tumble action adventure?
But you know what? That's perfect for a tale of classic adventure and princes and pirates.
That's true. There are princes in this. So
there are.
I have actually seen this movie.
You have.
Once, and I barely remember it, because you actually tried to show it to me once.
But we
were at work, and...
I promise we work hard. We work very hard.
We work very hard, but we were at work, and I was trying to do work things while watching the film, and what ended up happening is I just didn't watch the film. So I vaguely remember... the setting at the beginning of the film and one other character who we'll get to in a minute.
Yes.
But to complete this vibe check, also this week we've got pirates and we didn't have rum, so we thought beer might be the next best thing. Next most piratey thing. So yeah, we've got burgers, we've got beer, we've got baked brie, and one maybe good animated film this week.
I would argue that my film choice for this week, the movie that I am sharing as my talk and trash submission, which is Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas. I was right. I couldn't remember the subtitle last week, but I was right. Legend of the Seven Seas. Released in 2003 by DreamWorks Pictures, directed by Patrick Gilmore and Tim Johnson. I would argue that this film is fantastic and deserved a lot more recognition than it got. Fun facts, though, came out the same week as Finding Nemo and came out the week before Pirates of the Caribbean Curse of the Black Pearl, and so has sort of been lost to the annals of history because of that.
Why does this movie feel to me like it's old as balls? Like, Pirates feels old-ish, but not that old. And Nemo feels old-ish, but not that old. But for some reason,
this one feels older.
It feels like it's, like, before my time, somehow.
Because it was the last of the 2D DreamWorks films.
Okay.
And that's why. It's from this bygone era. It's from the same era where my absolute favorite film of all time, The Prince of Egypt, came from.
Okay, Prince of Egypt slaps. Yes. Like, we could never review Prince of Egypt on this show because, like, I've never met a single person who even would sort of put it in the trash can.
No, not at all.
But speaking of reviews, what is the general consensus on this film?
Well, you know what? I was supposed to have looked up the tomato score on this, and I definitely just did.
What a slacker.
Right? I am just the worst. While I am looking that up, though, I will tell you, though, that it does have a star-studded cast. It has Brad Pitt, Catherine Zeta-Jones, voice acting demigod Jim Cummings.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yes. Allstate man himself, Dennis Habert.
He's awesome. Okay.
It just has the most comforting voice in the world.
He does.
I do feel safe in his hands.
I do feel very safe in his hands. He was a smart choice for Allstate.
And then actual goddess, Michelle Pfeiffer, who is hands down the best part of this movie.
Who does Michelle Pfeiffer play?
Michelle Pfeiffer plays Eris, goddess of discord, and you cannot argue with me. She is one of the best things that DreamWorks ever created.
Okay. I could be completely full of it because I don't remember much of this movie, but for some reason, Eris is the one part I remember, and for some reason, I felt like I thought she was Nicole Kidman.
No.
It's Michelle Pfeiffer.
Honestly, though, I mess those two up, like, in my brain sometimes, and I don't know why.
Hmm.
But sometimes I do, too, so
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer is kind of a goddess, too, so... not kind of, she's really a goddess, but Nicole Kidman also qualifies. So, regardless, I'm cool with that.
Right.
Decision for casting.
It received a 45% tomato meter and a 56% audience score.
So it's pretty average.
Labeled as competent but not magical, which I frankly disagree with.
Okay.
Yeah. I like the hero's journey. I love anything that buckles some swash.
Fair.
I love animated movies that clearly like try and get some wings in at adults.
Mm-hmm.
I would say probably the biggest weakness with the soundtrack slaps.
Okay,
the soundtrack is great.
Where I'm noticing a trend that, like, the movie can have issues, but as long as the music's good, we forgive a lot of stuff.
I think the only film in my life that ever defied that rule was Twilight, where the soundtrack slapped, but the movie still did not win me over.
Oh, don't worry, fam. We're gonna watch Twilight at some point.
Eventually. Something that was such a big part of my young life has to be present in this at some point.
The films definitely meant nothing to me. I don't think that Robert Pattinson is attractive.
Hashtag not my...
Not my Edward. Yeah, so I was not... And by the time the films came out, I was honestly just a little too old for, like, Taylor Lautner was like a baby.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't even that old, but I was just like in college when the film started coming out. Because I read the books in high school.
The first film came out when we were freshmen in high school.
Did it?
Yeah.
But the last one came out when we were in college.
The last one came out when we were in college.
Okay. Okay. I remember being like a sophomore in high school when the last book came out.
The last book came out the summer after, no, it came out the summer before my freshman year, because I remember reading it over the summer before freshman year started.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
We've gone down this Twilight track a little too far. Okay, we should probably
get back into Sinbad. So I guess let me tell you what I'm expecting from this
film. Yes, I want to know what you're anticipating.
I am expecting, based on the artwork that I've seen and the small snippet of the film that I remember, to be disappointed when Sinbad succeeds at the end of the film, because I'm probably going to be rooting for Eris.
I think that's fair.
I'm also expecting, here's a critique I've had of a lot of the DreamWorks films. Not all of them, but a lot of the animated DreamWorks films. I tend to feel, after I've watched them, that the voice acting choices are always famous actors and not famous voice actors, and they're always chosen because of their name recognition instead of what they bring to the role. Like, and this is not to say that Disney has never chosen famous people for their voice actors, but when they do choose really famous actors, it feels like the role is, like, really fitting for that character. Mm-hmm. Like, The Rock playing Maui, like, he has such, like, a special cultural connection to that character mm-hmm. that it worked. Or, like, Robin Williams, like, the genie was designed for him to play. Whereas, like, I feel like I'm gonna be watching this movie and just thinking about the actors who are playing the characters. But that's just my impression. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe I'll forget.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think some of them are... I think the side characters are definitely superior. I really like Joseph Fiennes in this movie. He plays Prince Proteus. I quite like him.
Hot take.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in love with Joseph Fiennes since I saw Shakespeare in Love.
This is not going to change because of this movie.
Good.
If anything, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. Okay. Am I going to be in love with an animated character by the end of this? Maybe several?
That should be the goal.
Okay, yeah. Good. Good.
I will go ahead and concede if, you know, I could talk about the things that I think are very good about this movie for a while. Its biggest weakness is that it's trying to do that thing that happened in the 90s and early 2000s with the blending of CG and 2D animation. The 2D animation is stunning.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really top quality. The CG incorporation...
Not so much.
There's some really creative things that they come up with concept-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's fun. I think it's a really fun movie.
Okay.
Fun little odyssey that we're gonna go on.
Well, I trust you. So let's go ahead and show me your trash.
I will show you the delightful swashbuckling trash that is Sinbad. Legend of the Seven Seas. Enjoy.
And we're back.
So.
Okay, so I like that movie.
Yay!
So, a few things about it. Let me tell you... I'm going to start with the negative and then get positive.
I think that's wise.
Let's trash it first and then I'll tell you what I like. I kind of hate Sinbad. I love everything else around Sinbad. We figured this out at the end of the film. I hate his boots. He's got like moon shoes, and everybody else has like honest to god pirate boots.
Even Proteus has nicer boots
that have like, you know, actual like shape to them. And then you can't tell where Sinbad's pants end and his shoes begin. And he's can got I, these, like, can tiny I just say, little
I love,
feet.
I love that this is your first comment. It's my favorite thing.
I honestly, I spent the whole movie trying to figure out what it was about his legs that didn't make sense to me. And it wasn't until the very last scene that I was like, his shoes.
You also said, I believe, that you liked him much better without a hat on.
Yeah, I didn't like his hat very much. I don't know why.
He has nice hair. The hair works.
He does have nice hair. It also almost felt a little too nice. Like, it looked like an honest-to-God, like, nice... I don't feel like turban's the right word. I don't know what you would call it, but it had... It looked like the rolls and the edges were, like, sewn on and stuff. Mm. I feel like he's this, like, grody pirate, and he should just have, like, a rag around his hair to tie his hair back or something instead of, like, a full hat. Like, if you're a pirate, you should either have, like, a really big obnoxious hat.
Or a bandana.
Or a bandana. And he wasn't giving me either. Most of the costumes were banging, although... I was a little confused. Like, I was like, isn't this supposed to be Grease? Question mark. But some of their outfits were like, it could be Greek. Could be medieval European. Could be Middle Eastern. It was like a hodgepodge, which I don't hate.
It's actually one of the things I really like about this movie. I kind of like that it's in this vague... setting, and it's sort of a mishmash of both mythologies and cultures. Yeah. And...
But still, even within all of that, I felt like there was cohesion between most of the costumes, and then there was Sinbad. Yeah. Like, I felt like his character design was so weak next to everyone else's. Also, very small detail that I hate. What was the girl's name?
Marina?
Marina. Okay,
you know, because she loves the ocean.
I just got it, and I hate it. I really, really like Marina as a character. Overall, I like her character design. I hate that her hair is in a French, like, tuck. Like a twist? What is twist? Thank you. What is a French tuck? Oh, that's like what Tan France does. Sorry. That's when you tuck your shirt in the front. Anyways.
Let's be real, that would have made Sinbad's character design 100% better. He needed a French tuck.
He should have made the effort. I like...
You're hiding this beautiful hair under this sad hat, and I don't understand why.
I like that her hair was in a French twist, and I like her little haircut, but I hate... the implication that you could have hair that short and rock a French twist. Like, if she had her hair come down and it was long and then she cut it off dramatically or some shit, I'd be fine with it. But it was just so unnecessary to insinuate that she could do her hair like that. Mm-hmm. Because I'm growing my hair out after having it cut short, and I still, like, can't do, like, a full, like, perfect braid all the time. Like, there's so many wispies and stuff.
So the unrealistic hair expectations.
Yeah. So,
that's not a fan. That tends to be a problem in, you know, most animated films.
That's true.
This was just the first one that had, like, very little logical following
there. Yeah. There were a lot of plot holes. Like, the ship flies, and it can't go into Tartarus... And then all of a sudden, it's in Tartarus, and then they just magically get out of Tartarus, and I'm confused.
They were out of Tartarus when they fall off the bridge, because they're sitting and looking at the gates of Tartarus, and that's when they see the ship.
Okay.
It still
doesn't make sense.
It still doesn't make sense.
Like, how did they... I don't know. It was... And how did they turn the ship into a flying machine... I have questions. Yeah. I felt like I had another question.
The Book of Peace, you know.
What was that?
It's the Book of Peace, Liv. I don't know what...
Girl.
It brings peace and sunshine.
The Book of MacGuffin. I'm fine with a good MacGuffin. That really didn't bug me that much. I was a little curious about what on earth it was doing. But it didn't bug me that much. The only thing I disliked about it is that they go on this big hunt at the beginning for the Book of Peace. Oh, it's implied that they've been looking for it. They find it. They bring it back to Syracuse, and Syracuse is perfect. It's gorgeous. And then they get the Book of Peace, and everything is just better. And then when the Book of Peace gets taken away, it's like freaking the Enchantress came in and put a spell on Beast Castle.
Yeah.
And everything is, like, falling apart and bleak and dark. And I'm like, Syracuse was fine before the Book of Peace. Like, it was still kicking. It looked beautiful.
To be fair, the Book of Peace was also open on the ship. And everything went poorly when Eris closed the Book of Peace.
Okay, fair.
So there's something about it has to be open.
Sorry, that's my dog. Come on, Zoe. So now let's shift to the good part.
Yes, I do. And I think all of your criticisms, whether large MacGuffin plot things or hair and boot problems, I think those are all valid. I do want to hear what you did like about it.
I'm not trying to say that this is the only thing I liked about it, but honestly, there's two things coming to my mind that I liked about it. Proteus.
Yep.
Because...
Proteus.
And Eris, because...
Right?
Right.
Right?
So, yeah, I think when I boil it down, I was really attached to those two characters. Every time Eris came on the screen, I was so excited. She's fantastic. I love her. I love her character design. Her voice actress is stunning. I just really, really like Joseph Fiennes.
Yeah.
And speaking of Fiennes,
can we talk about Proteus. Him? Can we talk about him, like, pushing aside his little, like, billowing coat before he kneels to be executed?
Girl. Girl.
Like, had no business being that noble and wonderful.
I want, like, a super cut of this movie. It's just gonna be, like, 5 minutes long, and it's just Proteus. And that's... I want to put that in my treasure chest, and then the rest of it, it's not trash-worthy. It's like recycling bin. Like, you know, like...
That's fair.
I just don't like Sinbad as a character, really. But everything around Sinbad was fantastic. Sinbad's crew, oh my god. They had so much personality. I adore them. Well, was Rat the one that swings from the...
Yes.
I love him. I love Spike.
I love the twins who are making bets the whole time.
Yes, they're also cute. Yeah. And they're so much better.
Kale is the best supportive friend ever. Just so supportive.
He's so supportive. And I love that all of the crew drank their respect women juice.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Sinbad had a sip a little earlier.
I think I am always a sucker for roguish piratey characters, so I'm a little bit more forgiving
mm-hmm.
of them. So I actually kind of like Sinbad. I do agree that the side characters are kind of steal the show
mm-hmm.
in this. But I like the two leads, and I'm a sucker for a enemies to lover story, even if it's one that's like very quick like this one.
Yeah, I like a little more build.
Yeah, you and I are both slow burn people typically.
I love a good slow burn.
But I'm okay with in this runtime having that. Yeah, I also like the fights in this. I like the sword fighting. And
can we talk about how smooth the animation is?
It's okay.
It's the, like, seamless.
How smooth the 2D animation is.
Okay.
There are
scenes
where you see...
The 3D animation is a little...
The 3D background people are so unnecessary.
What year did this film come out?
This was 2003.
Are you serious?
Right? It should be better than
this
that.
This is 17 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
This was the last of the 2D DreamWorks movies.
But yeah, I mean, considering that, like, Lord of the Rings came out in 2001, and the degree, the level of excellence with their 3D animation, their CGI, I feel like this should have been better.
Yeah, I agree.
What year did Atlantis come out? Speaking of which, we should put that movie on the list.
Oh my goodness, yes. That and Treasure Planet.
Yes.
My animated pirate movies, man.
Atlantis was 2001, and I feel like they had kind of rough CGI in that, but that it worked better.
It did. It worked mostly because they saved the CGI for mechanical things, and so it made more sense.
Yeah.
I actually think the CG works well for the constellation monsters. I'm actually really okay. And I think that's such a cool concept.
Yeah.
That I'm really okay with it.
As a nitpicky thing, I wish they had been, like, I recognize Scorpio as one of the constellations. I didn't recognize all the other ones.
I'm not familiar enough with constellations to know if any or all of them were.
Maybe they were, and I'm just not as well-versed on my Greek myth constellations as I thought I was, but they weren't super recognizable to me, and I think it would have been cool if they had been.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just looked up, too. So, Shrek came out in 2001.
Yeah.
So, considering... And that's DreamWorks. So, it's not even comparing to different studios, but comparing to its own studio. I mean, Shrek was groundbreaking in terms of CGI. And the degree of excellence of CGI in that film. And I know to some extent we look back on it and it doesn't feel like it's aged super well. But at the time, it was really groundbreaking. And honestly, Shrek still holds up pretty well.
Yeah, pretty well.
It looks a little janky in parts, but overall, it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it still looks decent, 19 years later, and this film in moments looked like utter garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they could have done better.
I agree. You can tell that most of the investment went into the 2D animation.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. I feel like it was more important.
Yeah. Let's be real. The whole budget went into animating Eris's hair. Just all of the time.
Her hair made me really jealous.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to look like all the time. That's my goal.
I want magical moving hair that allows me to disappear dramatically from rooms. I think that's all any girl wants.
Oh, explain this to me. Speaking of Eris. Okay, so at the beginning, she's trying to convince Sinbad to steal the book for her, I thought.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. She needed him there to frame.
But he never even attempted to steal the book.
No, which was why she had to leave the knife there. It was because, remember, her ultimate goal wasn't getting the book, it was getting Proteus executed. So Sinbad had to be arrested for stealing the book.
I understand that. I just feel like, why even send Sinbad after the book if she was going to go steal it? Or why have him agree to it if he didn't want to actually do it? Like, I feel like there could have been a better plot contrivance to get him there.
I think that's fair. I think, you have the goddess of trickery and, we have to spend most of the film believing that her motivation is she wants the Book of Peace for whatever.
Yeah. Which isn't too much of a stretch. A goddess of chaos would not want there to be a magical tome of peace within people's reach, which makes sense. But yeah.
I think for the most part, for this film having such a short runtime, it uses the time that it has very well.
I think its pacing was excellent.
Yes.
It didn't feel like there was any dead air in the film.
Yeah.
Everything that happened felt intentional.
After the last unicorn,
We needed something that kind of moved along.
Honestly, I feel like you should have picked a worse movie after that, The Last Unicorn.
I will try my best for the next one.
Okay.
To pick a worse movie.
So overall, I'm not sure that I would put this movie in my treasure chest, but if I had to choose between the treasure chest and the trash can, I would put it in the treasure chest.
You'll put it in the odd, strange collection of things in your captain quarters.
This movie is not like finding buried treasure. It's more like pulling a 20 out of your back pocket after when you put on like a pair of fresh jeans. Like you're not like, oh my god, this is life changing. I'm never gonna forget this film. But it was super enjoyable, and I'm glad I experienced it.
Good. That is all I want from people when I show them this movie. I'm like, this is my dumb fun movie, and I love it. It as I'm a sucker for pirate movies, and I think this is a pretty good pirate movie.
Yeah.
And I am sure there will be more pirate movies in the future.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh. One last positive that I think we would be remiss to not talk about. Spike stole the show. So if you haven't seen the movie, guys, Spike is I think he's a boxer. He's a dog.
He's a dog. I could not tell you.
He's like a boxer or maybe a pitty, like a pit bull.
I thought he might be a pit bull.
But. I'm not sure, but whatever he is, he's magical and precious, and I love him, and he's definitely my favorite part of the film.
Yes.
I like him even more than Proteus and Eris, and that's saying something.
That is saying something.
But,
I like his little, doggy catapult that he can fire for himself.
Yes.
Yeah. I also love his judgmental looks whenever he's looking at...
So much sass.
So much.
But...
I think that's it. I think I like super sassy characters, and this movie is just sassy line after sassy line.
Yes, it is. So, good choice.
Thank you.
Good choice.
I am glad. Do we have something lined up for next?
I believe we do. So, you know, spooky season is coming up.
It is coming up.
It is the time
For spooks.
For spooks and spoops. And all things Halloween.
Yep.
So we're gonna watch a movie next. I am submitting the next application. This next film that we're gonna watch is actually pretty good in a few areas. It stars Gary Oldman, and is remembered for one, his stellar performance, and two, the incredible costuming. But this film also stars Keanu Reeves in probably his first serious role post Bill and Ted. And he is trying to do a British accent and struggles. So he kind of sounds like this the whole movie. And it's terrible. And this film is called Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I love that I'm already super excited. Haven't seen it. But that they're proud enough to slap Bram Stoker's on the front.
They are. They're like, this is the real, like, story of Dracula.
Definitive.
Have you read the book?
I have.
Okay, I have too, but I read it in like middle school.
I was the same. I read it in middle school. But it's October. Audible now has like all their like included. Titles, and one of them is Dracula,
and we're
being performed by Alan Cumming and Tim Curry.
I love Alan Cumming. I'm sorry, and Tim Curry. Yeah, right? Okay, sorry.
You're welcome, Audible.
We're not sponsored by Audible or anything. We're just book nerds. So.
But I am currently listening to that and kind of getting my Dracula refresher.
Okay, so you'll be able to kind of guide us through how accurate it is. Like, it's accurate based on my remembrance of the story.
Is Keanu,
Jonathan.
He's Harker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And, Why am I blanking on her name? Great actress. She is Abigail in The Crucible, and she...
Winona Ryder?
Yes, Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder's in it?
Is in this, and she plays Mina.
Okay.
Yeah, and I love her, and she's everything. But yeah, nothing is as good as Gary Oldman. And something...
I've seen the wig. I've seen the Gary Oldman Dracula wig.
Yeah, he's got like 18 different wigs. It's great.
Oh!
Well, he changes appearance a lot.
Oh, that's right, because he gets younger.
Yeah, so he looks... he's got a lot of... He's got looks. He's a look queen in this one. But yeah,
he's Rumpelstiltskin in Shrek 4. Fetch my angry wig.
I've never actually seen Shrek 4.
You know what? That's a good thing, and I really don't want to put it on this list.
Okay, good.
Because it's really bad, but that was the only part I remembered, is at one point he goes, fetch my angry wig.
God. the only thing I know about Shrek 4 is, like, we're both big fans of Dragon Age, if you've played those video games. If not, highly recommend, but one of the characters, Solas, who is my favorite character, is a bald elf. And people say he looks like an egg because he's bald. And there's, like, I guess it's Humpty Dumpty.
Okay, that is actually in the spin-off Puss in Boots movie.
Okay, so...
Which I can't believe I know enough Shrek lore to correct you on that.
But, so, he shows up in memes a lot, and... it'll just be, like, stills from that movie with lines from Dragon Age over it, which is fairly accurate.
That's actually really funny.
But, yeah, so Bram Stoker's Dracula is up next. So, yeah, we will officially usher in Halloween with that movie.
I'm ready.
So.
I'm so ready.
Yeah.
Well... thank you for watching this with me. I love sharing this.
I'm so glad you shared it with me.
So, I guess, let us know if, you've seen this movie, if you like this movie. If not, please go check this movie out. I feel like it didn't get the fair run it deserved.
Yeah.
And,
I feel like it could be, like, a cult classic.
Yes.
Like, a sleeper film.
Yes.
You know. 17 years later. Let's make it a thing.
Bring this back. This is what we want brought back in the year 2020.
But yeah, it was a pleasure to watch. So, yeah, it's the $20 in your freshly clean jeans. It's a certifiably not garbage movie.
Yeah.
Thanks for hopping in the trash can with us.
Give this week's movie a watch and let us know below what you think.
And let us know what you think we should watch next week.
And remember, no matter how trashy you feel, you are deeply treasured.
Bye!